called The Fool. Now, for those of you, it's on the website. So if you ever want to download it or follow it yourself too, or follow my screen, it's up to you. But when COVID started, we did wisdom versus fear. I'm doing this coming from the other direction. And this is so important and necessary for us to understand the term fool. We don't even realize how significant it is, because there are other words we would dare not to say, but we'll call somebody a fool in a second, which you'll see is not right. Now, the reason why I'm doing this is because, especially in the church, and especially I think in my life, I know in my lifetime and everybody else's lifetime, we have allowed ourselves, even though we have access to the most awesome and powerful wisdom that exists, to play the fool. And that's our fault as God's people, because we're not reaching out to God like we should. I'm gonna give two examples. When I was in college, I remember my roommate came in, and I remember he made the comment, "Hey, I went to church and somebody brought me this this process that we can make money." And I'm like, okay. And as he explained it to me, and it's the first time I heard of it at that time, it was a pyramid scheme. If anybody doesn't understand what that is, it's just a way that you're basically investing in nothing, and you just get more people to keep investing in nothing. But the more people you get, the more money you make. And the person at the bottom has to keep getting more people, and so on and so forth, which is really not a good thing to do. Right now, it's basically illegal to do that. The problem is, the people they got the most back then were the church. They used to get to church all the time with those. Okay, now the more I understood it, I remember I didn't invest in it, and you heard ministers who would say, you know, God is giving you opportunity, this, that, and people lost money like crazy. So then it kind of disappeared. Not one after another, I keep seeing that thing kind of pop its head up, and the church kept falling for it. And it's not the fact that the church was targeted, it's the fact of that the church fell for it. The church foolishly took on something foolishly, instead of realizing we have wisdom to look at it and go, no. The second time we've seen something like this happen, if everybody remembers in the late 2000s, when the housing market was booming and they were making a ton of money selling houses to people that really didn't have it. And how they were doing it is they were coming to you and explaining to you, well, this rate is at a perfect time for you to buy a house that you will be able to get it. And the chances of it going up are basically null. The problem is the banks were lying to them. And there's even a documentary that even showed that you had people in banking that would tell them, go to the pastors of the church. And the pastors would get up and tell their church, God has given you an opportunity. He's not going to leave you hanging, so on and so forth. So people who were either saving for their homes or didn't have money for their homes, bought these homes they couldn't afford, market crashed, they lost their homes, they lost their savings. Some people even left God because they're blaming God for it. And God had absolutely nothing to do with it. And what was happening was we allowed ourselves to play the fool. Now, this, you keep seeing this concept happen. And as Sister Carolyn was saying, like, you get different, like the Newark thing is starting. And I think it's just going to be another concept which is going to pull people in, get them emotionally excited. We fall for these things and they become foolish. We got to understand what it means to be the fool, or who the fool is. Now, let me make this clear. As you go to the top of the page, the Bible not only provides us with what we need to protect us from others and for us to help others, but for us to check. I don't know why I did that there, but for us to first check and help us first. When I hear the word fool, I don't just go look at those, you know, or those people and prepare or protect myself from it. I have to make sure, what am I being a fool? As it says in Matthew 7:1-5, he says, do not judge or you too will be judged. Watch what he says. He says, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. Now, that's significant because it's showing us that how was I judging you? Okay. And now remember, Christians, as it says in 1 Corinthians 5:9, it is our responsibility to judge those in the church. And it's not a passing judgment, which I'm condemning. It's more of an assessment in order for me to help and for you to help as well. But he's saying, if I do it wrong, I'm going to get judged wrong. And he didn't say I may. He's saying, no, you will. And that should be something that should put a caution in us or a fear. He goes on and says, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I always want to be measured by the only true measure, which is Christ. However, if you're using how you see things, your experience, what culture says, what your friends say, so on and so forth. He's saying that unbalanced measure will be used on me also. And you don't want that. Okay. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And he's making very clear, a lot of times for us to either help or avoid a fool, once we're going to realize this, we have to recognize how we have been a fool. If you don't, you're setting yourself up and you can hurt them. He says in verse 4, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? Okay, and if you notice, he makes it, he's saying speck in theirs and a plank in ours, because that's usually what happens. We can judge and tell somebody what they're doing wrong and how they're this and that, and they're staring at us, and our lives are displaying our flaw, our major flaw. Okay, hey, that's why he starts, and he hits it with in verse 5, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. Now, what that's not saying is be perfect before you can help them. No, it shows that you recognize how flawed you are before you help them with their flaw. Does that make sense? When I remove the plank, it's talking about seeing. It's talking about recognizing what's going on. So when I really realize, yeah, I have these problems, but I'm also noticing you're having these problems. Hey, maybe we can help each other with these problems in the Lord. Not, you know, that person, he's this and that and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just judging them based on me because I'm high and mighty and I'm so self-righteous and I'm missing it and I'm blowing it. He says, if I first take the plank out of my own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, I use this because even though, as we're about to see here, calling somebody a fool is dangerous. And let me show you what he says. He says, first, we got to realize we are never to label somebody a fool. Matthew 5:22 says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. That's the first thing, right? Because you have people walking around with attitudes and grudges against people. I don't care what your reasoning is. This right here should put fear in you. And people still are doing it. We have attitudes. We have grudges. We're doing things against something somebody did. It could be 15 minutes ago, but we have it when they've done it to us years ago. And I don't care how great that is. We allow that to go ahead of us. But that's a whole nother study. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. And usually when you're answerable to Sanhedrin, I mean, you could have been, they could have stoned you to death. They could have put you in jail. Raca means worthless, or another term we use regularly, idiot. Okay? So when we call somebody an idiot, all right? And then he goes with the one that we're talking about, but anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of fire of hell. Now, let me be very clear. What this is not saying is there's not things people are doing not to make somebody angry. It's not saying that some people are not worthless. The Bible even defines that. And it's not saying that there are no fools out there. What it is saying is, I have no right to label you that. I have no right to say that to you based off of me saying it to you. Does that make sense? Okay. And I have no right to call somebody an idiot, but I got to present when the Bible is showing that they are an idiot. Reason being, because especially all of those, it's showing my path away from God, headed to hell. These are dangerous place to be. I mean, that's one of the worst curse words, a fool, because if I'm living as a fool, as you're going to see in this, I'm in danger and I'm going to endanger others. And that's going to be a major thing. So I don't want to be a fool and I want to understand it. But if you're giving me your definition of fool, now there's confusion. OK, so be very careful on how we do that. But that's why I have in parentheses here, though I must never call someone a fool, I must recognize a fool, even if that fool is me. Okay, I have to recognize a fool because the Bible puts a lot into understanding foolishness and the fool. So we're going to spend that time doing that. Okay, so that's why it says here, we are warned not to allow foolish people as being dependable people in our lives. So this is why I'm saying how you have to recognize the fool, because if you don't, you'll do things with them as if it's normal. Look what it says in Proverbs 14, verse 7. It says, stay away from a foolish man, for you will not find knowledge on his lips. Now, if you don't know any better, you'll do like Eve. And that's why I put that in parentheses. And if anybody gets a chance, go back to Genesis 3:1-6. A foolish man to a person who's not in God's wisdom can sound wise and will say some things that sound wise, just like what Satan tried to do to Jesus. But he's still foolish. You know what I mean? Satan is still foolish because of the things he's doing. So when you recognize a person, as we're going to see it defined, that's outside of God, trying to convince me or trying to give me advice or trying to give me guidance, he was like, stay away from that. And the main reason why he's saying stay away from that, because if I get a weak moment or even worse, a fleshly moment, I'm going to hear what they say and it's going to make sense. There are people, I'll give you an example, and I think a lot of us are guilty of this. I think today, one of the most common things for us to do is to bash the media. And that's absolutely right, because it's a lot of garbage out there and it's a lot of false things. But what we're doing then is we're going to the internet. So now help me, what makes the internet more reliable than what we see on the news? So the only thing that is fully reliable is God's word. So usually when somebody brings me any type of information, I go, okay, and I take it, take it with a grain of salt. I'll listen to it. I'm not going to take everything and throw it away. But the only thing that I can say, I can really take it in and say, when the Bible says this, and now I'm getting reliable answers. Everything else I have to be careful of. And that's why I usually ask, did you truly see that? Or are you passing on some things? Because you're going to see later, that's foolish. Okay. So we have to make sure that we are not following or listening to people that fall under a fool. Do you understand that? Because he's saying you will not find knowledge in his lips. And there's a lot of people that ended up in cults or end up being misled, think they're being Christians, and they're following foolish things, being led by a fool while they themselves are being fools. Okay. Now, they are incapable of having wise conversation. This is a thing you're going to understand about them. So it shows in Proverbs 23, verse 9, it says, do not speak to a fool. Why? For he will scorn the wisdom of your words. What does that mean? So if true wisdom only comes from God, if I'm truly speaking what God's word is saying, they'll shoot it down. If you understand that, that's, let me tell you and let me give you some knowledge. It'll give you some other things that'll go against what God's word is saying. Okay. The Bible even shows us, and we're going to see this later in this study, that the world thinks the wisdom of God is foolishness. Okay, so a fool won't be able to accept and understand wisdom. Okay, so be very careful, because they're going to guide you away from the Bible if you're not careful, and you'll be able to see that. Fools walk blindly. Okay, it says in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 14, the wise man has eyes in his head, while the fool walks in darkness. And what he means when he says eyes in his head, the wise man is seeing where he's going. Okay. Now, even if I walk by, when I walk by faith, that's my sight. That's the eyes I'm using, but I'm seeing where I'm going, while a fool just goes. You ever hear the term? It's not biblical, but fools rush in. There's biblical things that kind of support that. It's the same thing. Fools just react. Fools just do. Okay. As you're going to see in a lot of these. And that's why he says, but I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them all. That's Ecclesiastes, and talks about life. But the first part of that is what I want you to make sure you understand. The wise person is going to go off of what he sees. He's going to assess a situation, while a fool will rush in. They'll get something, they'll hear something, and they'll go with it. Okay? And we got to be careful, because it's dangerous, very dangerous for us who follow them. In a nutshell, fools in their foolishness is very dangerous. Look at this analogy that God uses for us. It says in Proverbs 17, verse 12, watch this. Better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs. Now, if anybody knows anything about bears, not just even robbed, if you get close to a cub, they attack. I mean, grizzlies and brown bears, especially, that with their cubs, man, they'll attack anything, and they'll chase you as far as they could, and they try to kill you when it comes to their babies. It's saying if the babies are missing and you meet up with one, you're as good as dead and ripped apart and bear food and whatever. Okay, so that's what it's saying. He's saying better to do that than a fool in his folly. Now, that should make us go, wow. That's huge. It's saying you are setting up your death sentence. The problem is we are surrounded by foolish talk, foolish people that are giving us foolish things, and we're following them. We have so much information today. And I know it, because I look at things on the internet and I'm watching the news and I watch it. I don't want to be one of those people who go, I don't watch it because it's too much this, and I don't listen because it's too much. Don't do that. It's saying understand what it is. It's foolishness. At least you want to understand, as the Bible says, because you're going to recognize where the fool is coming from. But don't get caught up in it thinking it's true. We're going to work on a lesson coming up where it's going to let us know it's not always just a lie. Sometimes it's half truths. Sometimes it's partial, you know, just to intrigue you or to pull you in. But as it's showing here, he's saying allowing the fool to have that much in your life is dangerous to your life. Keep that in mind. Fool's purpose displays their disbelief in God. If you step back, you'll watch a fool. Their purpose is not godly. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now, why did he say it that way? Because they won't say it out loud. In fact, a lot of them will say, no, I'm a believer, or I believe in God. And they'll say it. You just watch how they live, the next step they do, the process of their life, how their relationships are, how they are with their finances, as you're about to see, will display, no, they don't believe in God. God has absolutely nothing to do with them. He says they say in their heart, because remember, your heart is your purpose. And you'll see them living a life almost blatantly sinning in front of God and think nothing of it. Now, look, like I said, you said they weren't a Christian, they'd be ready to fight you. But you would see in their purpose, in their life purpose, it's for something else other than God. That's why he says they are corrupt, their deeds are vile, and there is no one who does good. And that last part, no one who does good, if anybody remembers that in Romans 3, where it's talking about man, no man is good. So before we have Christ, we're all fools. There is no wise man outside of Christ. Please understand that. And we can get misled and charmed because if we don't know the difference, you'll hear somebody that'll put some words together that sound great, while in reality, it's foolish. And that's what God is trying to show us. All right. We must redirect them from their foolishness. And that's what this verse is, what this verse is talking about in Proverbs 26, or this passage, Proverbs 26, 4 through 5. It says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. And I'll explain what this means. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, lest he be wise in his own eyes. And somebody asked this question before, I think it was Sister Navia. If you read in some of the other translations, it goes, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be wise in his own eyes. Because that's what the translation kind of says. While what it's saying in the first part is, understand that if you answer him based on his foundation, okay? So if I get into some of these arguments that are out here, and that's why I said I can't stand the political time right now, because we then speak ignorance against somebody else that's speaking ignorance, and then we fight them with more ignorance, and then they fight us with more ignorance, and then we all say stupid things, and we all do stupid things, and it goes back and forth. So then it's just foolish. It's just foolish. But when you answer according to it, what it deserves, in other words, if it's not biblical, you answer it to that. The minute somebody comes up with something, I'm like, so where is the basis of that in God's word? You know what I mean? Immediately you can kind of, you know what I mean? I'll see people get nervous when they'll hear people, even when people use God's word incorrectly, they'll get nervous until you go, but wait, but it is also written. Remember Jesus? It is also written this, this, and this. So why are you worried about this? And we allow that stuff because what the folly or what the person is saying deserves is you're not speaking through the word. You're speaking outside the word, which is foolish. Okay, and that's why I said, so our responsibility is to take that foolishness and kind of throw it out. We have conspiracy after conspiracy. I know both sides of the aisle of, you know, have conspiracies. And I keep telling Christians, y'all listen to them for entertainment. And there may be some truth to them, but why are you getting caught up in it? It becomes foolish because you'll spend more time on this nonsense. And if God goes, okay, so what were you doing? Well, I was following this conspiracy of this going, this, this, and this. And you go, but what did I tell you to do? And this is where we mess up. You're going to look throughout history and there's going to be things that we have done that looks noble, but it makes us leave God, which in turn we became fools. We meant well instead of just doing what he told us to do. Does that make sense? Okay. So we got to make sure we understand what the fool is and when we are a fool. So what defines a fool or foolishness? Okay. Now, focusing on their perception and become angry when you don't, when you do not. Okay, so a fool will have one of the traits, and I know I say it wrong. I know my wife's probably cringing every time she hears me say it because my oohs and my some of the words I say. So just pray for me. But you know what I'm talking about. So when they focus on how they see things. That's why they'll grab something and they'll believe in it so strongly, and then they'll get mad when you don't believe in them. Okay, and the Bible shows that. So this is one of the traits of a fool. Proverbs 12, 15 through 16 says, the way of a fool seems right to him. Okay, in other words, and the key word, seems, because I figured it out and the way it looks to me is right, then why aren't you believing me? And that's why it says, but a wise man listens to advice. A wise man will go, here's what I'm hearing. Let me hear yours. Did you catch that? It says a fool shows his annoyance at once. So he'll give you this whole entire thing laid out, and you're going, nah, and they're going, what? And they'll get angry. And you're going to see some responses of that. It says, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to get knowledge. You know what I mean? Because what usually happens is, you know, people will get mad at you, then they'll take a shot at you. They'll say something bad about you. They'll say something just to, you know, and that's a sign of a fool. When they're trying to go after you emotionally, when they're trying to hit a nerve, as it's showing. And like I said, the anger comes out of, why didn't you just accept what I'm telling you? What's the matter with what I just said? You know what I mean? Because in their mind, this is the answer. When we have the answer in front of us, which is the word of God. Another trait, they follow self-wisdom. Okay? Every Christian needs to follow godly wisdom, not self-wisdom. Proverbs 26:12 says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? And there are some brilliant men based on the world. And watch what he says here. There is more hope for a fool than for him. So he's even given more credit. This person is still considered a fool, but he's really even considered worse than a fool. When in his mind, I figured it out. I have it all figured out. And a lot of what we base our world on, there are people like this. The philosophers and the people that have made decisions for us are people who are wise in their own eyes. I did a study a while back on the when we dropped the bomb on Japan. And when I really saw the whole concept of how that whole entire thing came to grips and when we made that final decision, it blew my mind on how that. And I'm not going to get into that. You know, it's a whole history if you want to look into that. It kind of blew my mind on that final decision. Now, not being a Christian, it probably would have made sense to me. Being a Christian, I'm like, how could the people who made that decision live with themselves? You understand that? The people who did Pearl Harbor, you know, coming from Japan, same reason. What were they thinking? What was going through their mind in that? But in their own eyes, it was brilliant. And we still do that today. Okay. So he's saying it's more hope for a fool than somebody who really thinks I got it figured out. That's why I'm more prone to listen to somebody who's going to listen and be more humble than the people who come to you with, I have all the answers. Other than if the answer is the word, I'm all for receiving the word. Fools live in a fairy tale as if it's reality. It shows in Proverbs 14, verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. Now, if you notice in some of these, it kind of gives the analogy or the opposite of it by using the wisdom. And you see godly wisdom in it. And he uses things like the prudent or the wise. And he's saying the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. So a wise person will stop and really think things through. Okay. But the folly of the fool is deception. You give me something. In other words, a fool just wants it to be believable. Give me something that I like to hear. I'm not going to think it through. If it's believable, I'm following it. It's the same thing that was happening with that whole entire thing that they did to the church. In fact, what Bernie Madoff did to most of the Jewish district, but he did to a lot of rich people. These were very financially smart people that wanted to believe the lie. That I'm getting this deal that recession doesn't even hit. I'm making double what I put in every year. My retirement is going to be crazy. While in the back of their head, they're going, you do know this is impossible, but it's been working how many years? And we do the same thing. So a fool loves deception. You told me something that I like to hear. I cling on to it. I'll support it until somebody goes, so where'd you get that information? Internet. You know what I mean? And then we were like, wait a minute. So, oh, it's from a reliable source. A good friend of mine's cousin's brother. You know what I mean? Still, Even if you said Pastor Keith said, and they go, where did Pastor Keith get it from? If it's not from the Bible, you still go, okay. You know what I mean? You don't take it, because we're going to lean on what we want to hear and what we don't want to hear. Deception. While it says the prudent gives thought to their ways. You're going to see something, and I'm going to use this as one of the examples, especially when this pandemic hit, how wisdom is from God and how making wise decisions based on some that the church is even doing that's very dangerous can be very foolish. It says fools work harder, not smarter. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 15 says a fool's work wearies him. So it's not necessarily saying they're always lazy. They just kind of do. They don't plan things out. They just go. I know I was a fool a lot of times when we used to buy stuff that we put together. And I've had a lot of backwards doors and things upside down and had to take things completely apart. And all I had to do was read the instructions. Now, you watch me now. I'm like step one, step two. Why? They gave the instructions. You know what I mean? When I was young and foolish, it was, oh, I know how to do this. And I start putting it together. And I thought I had it all figured out. Man, you don't know how many times I had to take things totally apart, strip screws. And it was foolish. While they were like, we're giving you the exact answer right here. And we do the same thing in life. We got the exact answer in front of us. Why aren't we using that? It says he does not know the way to town. That's what it means. He doesn't know what he's doing. He just works. He's just doing it. And he's probably making it worse, not getting anywhere with it. Instead of, let me sit down first and read the instructions. You know, I mean, I know men, we have that man card, which we say we don't read instructions. And while in reality, he's saying we're foolish. We got to stop playing the fools, really. You know, I mean, in reality, we do have to understand there's a process and a thing that we go through. I'm going to read these last two and then we're going to close. Fools provoke instead of speaking knowledge. Another common trait, they provoke. Proverbs 27 verse 3 says, stone is heavy and sand a burden, but provocation by a fool is heavier than both. What does that mean? What it's saying is a fool tries to push buttons instead of having a conversation. Remember we said earlier, they can't have a wise conversation. Why? Because they really don't have proof. They just have something they want to believe in. And then they start taking shots. And then they hit you with things. And then they insult you. And they insult what you believe in. And they do things just to get you riled up and get you angry. So they can go, what? What's the matter? Instead of going, well, here's what I have. Where'd you get yours? And truly saying, I want to give and receive knowledge. That's why under it, I have yelling and over talk instead of conversation. Very common trait of a fool. Proverbs 29:9 says, if a wise man has an argument with a fool, the fool only rages and laughs, and there is no quiet. Now, starting here, I'm hitting with a lot of things on the fool, and I'm doing this for the fact, so you're going to see the Bible put a lot into this in order for us to have this information, for us to be prepared for it. Now, as we stop here, and God willing, we'll continue on next week, I'm hoping you're grasping and you're looking at it and you're saying, is any of this me? And I encourage you, a true humble person will do this daily. Could that be me? If you truly had a real prayer partner, you want them to tell you. Now, prayer partners, please understand this. If somebody is relying on you on that, please make sure it's not your opinion. Make sure it's based on truth. Okay? Because sometimes we can mess somebody up by giving our own opinion. And that's why then they don't have prayer partners. And then we try to figure out stuff on our own. Our responsibility to one another is to speak to one another based on God. And we got to make sure we're doing that. So hopefully for what you gotten so far on this, you have a better understanding so far. There's a whole lot more on understanding what the fool is. Okay. And then we'll get on to dealing with them. First of all, we're going to see if we're the fool, and then we're going to see how to deal with it. Any questions? All right. Praise God. Let me stop this before it